And good morning, America, and welcome to Veterans Radio. Boy, are we excited to talk to you today here on our program. We're going to be talking about war dogs and a war dog monument that's being built here in Michigan. So all you dog lovers out there, pay attention, contact all your friends, let them know this is what we're talking about. And to Vance, good morning, Vance. I hope you're able to listen to us. Vance McCrum, better known as Dogman, is our local dog hero. And as I was mentioning last week, Vance was in a really horrific car accident down in Ohio. He is making progress. Evidently, your good thoughts and prayers are working. He's still in intensive care, but he is getting better every day, and hopefully we can get down to see him this week. And I want to make sure that this program is dedicated to you, Vance, if you're listening. Bob, I know you're over there. Bob,
I'm right here.
Is in the control room.
I'm here.
Working with with Nina to keep everything going, and we're going to be talking with Bob. There's a lot of things going on.
And I personally want to say hello and Godspeed and good wishes and speedy recovery to my man, Vance.
Well, you know, you don't realize how important people are to a program until they're not around, because for those of you that listen on our archives, Vance is the one that always records the programs and puts them up on our archives. And so right now it's going to be me. So I'll apologize in advance for any mistakes that might be out there. But I want to thank all the people that have contacted us. If you would like to send a card to Vance through Veterans Radio, you can send it to us. That's at Veterans Radio, P.O. Box 3085. That's P.O. Box 3085. Ann Arbor, Michigan, 48106, Ann Arbor, 48106, or you can send them either to Bob or me through our emails to Dale or Bob at veteransradio.net, and we will make sure that they get to Vance.
I would just like to say something personal. Mano a mano, soldier to soldier, Vance. Hey, big guy, we're all for you. Do what the doctor and the nurses say. Put a big smile on. He's a tough guy. You know that, Dale?
I know he's a tough guy. I've been reading the...
They wanted to give him... What was it?
they wanted to knock him out entirely because they were putting in one of those filters to prevent blood clots from going from his legs up to his lungs. I guess I should tell you, but Vance was kind of smushed between two semi-trucks. This is what happened. And he was carting a huge boulder. And I don't know what he was doing carrying that boulder around with him. But evidently, when the accident occurred, the boulder came flying up through the cab of his car and truck. And that's what did a lot of the damage.
Well, Vance...
So he's a tough guy.
He's tough, folks. Those dog handlers had to be tough because they were out there leading the way there in Vietnam. So, Vance, this is from your buddy Bob. And I can speak here for Nina. And, of course, for Dale and all of our listening audience, we want to wish you Godspeed recovery. Get well soon. Don't be on the sick list, man. We want to see you back at the barracks. You take care.
That's true. And we do want Vance to recover as quickly as possible. And we're hoping that he will be allowed to have visitors in the next week so we can get down there and see him. Again, if you'd like to send your thoughts to Vance, you can send us an email here at Veterans Radio, either to Dale or Bob at veteransradio.net. If you want to send a card, you can send it to us at Veterans Radio, P.O. Box 3085, Ann Arbor, Michigan, 48106. And we will get those to him. We're going to be taking a break right now, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about war dogs. And this is a great story that I just happened upon in the last week or so, and I think that you're going to find it fascinating. If you've got a war dog story that you'd like to talk about here on Veterans Radio, you can give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. You're listening to Veterans Radio, and we will be right back.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
And we're back on Veterans Radio, and as I mentioned before, we're going to be talking about war dogs, and most specifically about the Michigan War Dog Memorial. And joining me in our studio right now is Phil Whiteloff, and Phil is the director and the program manager and everything else it seems to go. Phil, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you here, and I want you to talk to our audience a little bit about what you're doing. But first of all, I want to find out, you are a veteran yourself.
Yes, I am.
And what did you do when you were in the service?
I chose to join the United States Army to serve our country in the early 1960s.
And what was your job at that point?
I was trained in infantry, and mainly it was all training. I happened to, what you call the luck of the draw, I happened to be friend of the company commander, and I'd become his personal driver for about a year.
I feel for you on that one. Where did you do your basic and AIT training?
I did my basic in Fort Knox, and then I did my training in Fort Jackson, South Carolina.
Okay. I always like to mention that because people, that have been in the service, we've been our experiences were pretty similar, although sometimes if you were at Fort Polk or Fort Dix or Fort Knox or wherever it is that you went through basic training, I always like to have people find that out. All right, so now tell me about this story of the Michigan War Dog Memorial. How did you get involved in this?
It all started back in the late spring of 2010. I was told about a war dog monument out in the South Lyon area.
This is in Michigan. We're talking to the world here, so we got to let people know where
okay.
we are.
Just a little east of South Lyon. I decided, well, let's go take a check and see what this is all about. So I took my two girls, as I call them, two German Shepherds, and we went for a ride. And we got down to the corner, and it was nothing but a heavy wooded area. And so we parked the car and started walking back into the woods. And sure enough, we ran into it. It was a huge granite monument. It had the statement on it, the war dogs, and had some other writing on the whole thing. But it was in absolutely horrible shape. I mean, there was just the foliage was just almost buried it. And as I looked around, I kept seeing all these headstones sticking up. So we walked a little further. The more we walked, the more headstones we saw. So I said, we've got to do something about this. So I went back to my current VSO operation, the AMVETS, the Huron Valley AMVETS in Milford, and brought it up at our meeting that we needed to form a detail to start cleaning this thing up. It's just a shame it's gone to the way it's gone. So several of the guys volunteered. We put a notice in the paper. We called several other VSOs in the area, dog club members, and we set a date. And on that first Saturday to clean up, I was absolutely elated. About 45 people showed up, weed whackers and chainsaws and whatever. And we started working on it, started cleaning it up.
Well, how did this dog memorial get started? I mean, who put it there?
Well, after we started working on it, we said, we got to find out the origin of the site in itself. So we went back into the archives of the newspaper as well as the town hall, and what we discovered is it was started out as a pet cemetery in 1936. It was established by a veterinarian who was actually did his practice in Highland Park, Michigan.
Was this the Elkow family?
Yes, the Elkow
okay.
family.
So he was a veterinarian.
He was a veterinarian.
Okay.
And so he started allowing his clients to bury their pets out there. In 1946, when the people in the area read all the stories of how many lives were saved by the war dogs, mainly in the Pacific, they got together, did a fundraiser, and they built that monument and set it out there in the area. So it pretty much was kept up, and the whole thing was maintained probably up to 1985. And by that time, that generation started getting into the age they couldn't do it anymore, and the next generation just wasn't that interested. So nature had taken over. But I want to back up a little bit because at the monument, we wanted to know, was there any war dogs buried there? And we did find that also out in the archives, that there was a dog by the name of Sergeant Sparks that he fought with the Marines in Guadalcanal and Okinawa. But we didn't, you know, we just, it was in the paper. So we thought, why don't we check and see if we can secure his military records?
Okay, this is we're trying to find military records for dogs right now. We're talking with Phil Whiteloff, who's the head of the committee, I guess you could say, for the Michigan War Dogs Memorial. And, you know, if you want to get in on a conversation, you can give us a call here on Veterans Radio at 877-573-7825. You mentioned that you had a Sergeant Sparks, and I was curious because you said you got a hold of his records. I didn't even know they had records for military dogs. So tell us how you found those.
Yes, they do have records for the dogs. And what we did, we got a hold of the Maryland National Archives, and they also worked with the Marine Corps Archives. The only information we had that we gave them was his name was Sergeant Sparks. We knew that he fought with Guadalcanal and Okinawa. He was retired in 1946, and he went home with his handler in Rochester, Michigan. That's all we knew. We gave him that information, and it was able to link it all together. And within 3 weeks, to my surprise, we received his entire medical and military records, the whole jacket.
So tell me a little bit about Sergeant Sparks.
Sergeant Sparks was a Doberman pincher. He actually survived the perils of Bougainville in the Solomon Islands, in Guadalcanal, Okinawa, and in Guam. So one tough dog.
Wow, yes.
He went through a lot. And he mainly was a scout dog. So a scout dog is a dog that's going to be up front on patrols. So he did his job. And so when the handler brought him home, after he went all through this stuff, he became ill and he passed away. So the handler says, I want to take him back out to the War Dog Memorial area, and I want to bury him just like his buddies that died on the beach. He wrapped him in a blanket and buried him at the foot of the monument. Now, this is all the information that we secured. Now, Sergeant Sparks has been out there now for 66 years without a headstone.
Oh.
So our committee, along with the AMVET group, we raised money, and we secured him a headstone. I just picked it up 2 days ago. So on March 9th, which is going to be K-9 Veteran Day ceremony there, we're going to dedicate the headstone to Sergeant Sparks now.
So this is next Saturday, coming up March 9th, what time?
It starts at 11 o'clock.
And where is this monument?
It's at the corner of Milford Road and 11 Mile. It's just a little east of South Lyon, and it's 2 miles south of I-96 on Milford Road. You can't miss it. We got American flags flying all over the place. So.
That's true. Even in the blizzard, I was able to see the flags, but I did not bother to stop the other day because I feared it would be suicidal for me. I'm curious about this whole thing with the war dogs. You mentioned the idea of what Sergeant Sparks and actually the war dogs in World War II, because evidently they had not been used that much prior to World War II. And what were the results of that? Were they in Europe? Were they in the Pacific? What were their jobs?
The majority of them was in the Pacific. What they really was doing was helping the armed forces fight with the Japanese. The Japanese were somewhat a master in disguise. And the first dog platoon that was deployed in 1943, when they arrived in Guam, after 2 weeks of their arrival, the casualty rate dropped 70%.
Wow.
And that's a big truck.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point on, any patrol that went out was led by a war dog. Not one was ambushed. So that was the credit of the war dog. So at that point, the military seemed, we've got something here.
Mm-hmm.
These dogs are saving lives.
We've got a caller on the line I want to pull up for you. Hold on just a second. And Sean, welcome to Veterans Radio. Hello?
Hi,
Sean.
Hello. John.
John, okay. John, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
So I know that you know Vance, but also I heard that you were a dog handler.
I was a Vietnam dog handler, uh-huh. Yeah.
What type of dog did you have?
I had a sentry dog. I was in the Air Force in Vietnam, 1967 and 1968. And I spent 4 years in the Air Force, and I was a dog handler. So,
what was the name of your dog?
In Vietnam, my dog's name was Vogie, V-O-G-I-E.
I didn't get that. Where were you stationed in Vietnam?
I was at Tan Sanut Air Base.
Okay, I'm familiar with that. And I understand that you know Vance.
Yes, I do. I know him through the Vietnam Dog Handler Association.
Okay. Do you want to give a shout-out to him?
I sure do. I've been in contact with his son, Mike, and been getting updates, but I hope that Vance is able to recover and get back to work, because I know he's a great guy, and we need as many great guys as possible around.
That's very true, John. I appreciate your calling in. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Venice, Florida today.
Well, thank you very much for listening, John, and thank you for giving us a call, and thank you for your service to the country and to your dog, Zogie. What a great name.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, John.
Yeah.
You know, I'm finding, as we talked, and Vance has mentioned this to me, what a tight-knit group that these dog handlers are. And even though you were not a dog handler, what's your attraction to them? I'm talking with Phil Whiteloff here about the Michigan War Dogs Memorial, and I'm trying to figure out why this person just seemed to suddenly get involved with this memorial.
I think first and foremost, I mean, I have to admit I'm a dog lover. I've always had dogs my entire life. And when I had seen the monument, and again, this all started in 2010, my whole mind went off, you know, my God, what these dogs have done to save all these lives, and I just started getting into it. And the more I got into it, the more I wanted to know, to learn. And so I just started my research. I started working with the U.S. War Dog Association out of New Jersey. I worked with the Vietnam Dog Handlers Group. They came back to me, wanted me to join their organization as an associate member, which I did. And I said, it just started getting to me. I said, I got to do something. So that's what it motivated me to start cleaning up this area to show our respect and honor these dogs.
You had a lot of people involved in the cleanup, not just AmVets and some other dog handlers. Can you talk about some of the other organizations that got involved?
Oh, yes. Yes. In 2010, one of the bigger groups that came out was the Rolling Thunder Group. There's a chapter out of Hamburg, Michigan. And we had, of course, the Vietnam Dog Handlers Group. It was there. The American Legion out of Milford was involved. The AmVet group was involved. Then we had dog club members that were involved. And then it was interesting, when we put the notice in the paper, the local residents were coming by and say, I've lived here for 15 years. I didn't know this thing even existed.
Mm-hmm.
And they would leave and come back with their gloves on and shovels and rakes, and then they would start working. So it became a feel-good mission, and people were just showing up. Every time we did a cleanup, we never had a problem with volunteers. It's great.
Was there some sort of nursery or tree?
Yes.
Landscape person that got involved too?
Yeah, what happened there was, as the word spread of what we were trying to do with our hand tools, the Arboriculture Society of Michigan seen what we were doing, and they contacted me and said, we'd like to offer you a day of service.
Wow.
Which I didn't quite understand what that meant. And they started explaining it. And what they did, they sent three tree trimmer companies with all their equipment to the site. Now, this site's about 2.5 acres, so when you start doing all this with just weed whackers and hand tools, it's quite a bit of work. Well, what they did in one day would have taken us 2 years of the volunteer work.
Well, I can only imagine.
And I was totally, totally elated with the whole thing. Matter of fact, they themselves has got them that got involved, and they bit the bug
mm-hmm.
because I was called to come up to Lansing 2 weeks ago and make a presentation to present awards to the three companies that came for the day of service. And before I left, there were seven other companies that came to me and said, what can I do to help you? So it's been great.
It is amazing what these men and women are doing out there in really nowhere land, Michigan, which is, you know, it's west of Detroit, north of Ann Arbor, a little east of South Lyon, Michigan. It's just kind of out there in farm country, and I think it's fascinating. This is the Michigan War Dog Memorial, and you can find more information about it. We're going to continue talking with Phil here in a second, but you can find out all kinds of information. You can see pictures of what it looked like before and what it's looking like now at their website is mwdm.org. And it's a great website. It's got a lot of great information in there about the history of the Michigan War Dog Memorial and also how you can help out, not only with your time but also with your donations. Now, you've set up a fund while you're working on your nonprofit status with the AMVETS, correct?
That's correct. That's correct. Well, what we're doing right now, we have filed for the proper paperwork. Prior to that paperwork coming in, the AMVETS stepped up and says, we will, you know, take in all the donations and we'll put it in a separate fund for the War Dog Fund. And that's the way it's been going on for about the last 2 years. It's worked out great.
I'm looking at their website right now. It's War Dog Michigan, or Michigan War Dog Memorial. And for donations, they give away all the information. You can send it to AMVETS Post 2006, 2006, P.O. Box 48. That's P.O. Box 48, Highland, Michigan, 48358. That's Highland, Michigan, 48358. Just go to the website, mwdm.org, and you'll be able to find out more information about that. I know that you've got a lot of stories about dogs, and we got about 5 minutes before we take our first break. And I wanted you to start the story on, I believe the dog's name is Mina.
Mina. That's correct.
So tell me about Mina.
Mina was a black Labrador retriever. Mina started his basic training at about 2 years old. After his basic training, he became a specialist dog. He was a MDD. It's a mind detection dog. He was very, very good. His efficiency rating was extremely high when he first started out. Then Mina was attached to the British Army for two tours in Afghanistan, and then brought back to the U.S. side. Then he went for another seven tours in Afghanistan, and surviving all those tours and bringing everybody home safe. The dog went into several competition programs where he was rated at 99.9% effective. Now, that's about as perfect as you can get.
I reckon so.
I mean, he was a good, good mind detection dog. He was about 10 years old.
I was going to say, how many deployments and tours did he have?
He had a total of nine.
Nine?
Nine tours. And I think he had four different handlers. His last handler who had him, Mina got joint problems. You know, he was pushing about 10 years old, and bigger dogs, we all know, they have mm-hmm. hip issues and some other problems. So the Army decided to retire him, and they offered the dog to his current handler if he wanted to adopt him, which he did. He sent Mina home to his mother. Mina stayed around for about a year, and she started getting ill. He started getting ill and got a bad infection, infected his lungs, and they had no choice. They had to put him down. The mother was, of course, distraught, very emotional about the whole thing, and again, not knowing, just decided to call Great Lakes National Cemetery to see if they could bury this war dog hero at the cemetery. Well, the cemetery says, you know, there's no way. You know, we do not accept animals.
Okay, so this is a national cemetery, National Veterans Cemetery.
That's correct.
And this is the mother of the dog handlers trying to take care of Mina's final resting place.
Right, because the soldier himself, he's still in Afghanistan. He's still deployed.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, she tried to get something done for the dog, and they explained to her there's no way. And the main reason why there's no way is dogs are still considered as equipment. You know, even though we've tried to change that around, they're still considered equipment. And as we know in the military, basically, there's only two classifications. There's personnel and there's equipment. And you can see why they would put them as equipment.
Mm-hmm.
But so they could not be, the dog could not be buried there. It took and got national news then. And so people started saying, what can we do to help this lady? Channel 2 had Ron Savage took the story on, and then he ended up calling me and asked me, could I help? And I said, we sure could. I said, we've already got it cleared through the township. We are now starting our internment for any retired MWD in the state of Michigan. And I said, we can take care of the dog with full military honors. So he asked me, what type of ceremony do you perform for that? And I said, we will have a flag line for the dog. We will have a color guard by the AMVETS. There will be a reading, and we will play taps. And so,
wow.
So that's what our plan is now. We're holding off on Mina right now until the soldier comes home on leave. So we're looking in possibly the May time frame that the burial will actually take place.
We're talking with Phil Whiteloff here, who's the project director, I guess you could say, for the Michigan War Dog Memorial. And we're going to take a break here in just a little bit, and I want to come back and I want to finish up this story on Mina, because there are more and more people that are getting involved in this, and the press that you were mentioning was the local Channel 2 Fox affiliate in Detroit that put this out, and you must have gotten a great response on that.
Oh, a tremendous response. Tremendous response.
Yeah, everybody wants to be involved with this now, and if you want to be involved, you can go to their website. That's the Michigan War Dog Memorial. That's MWDM.org for more information on this. And you can also give us a call here on Veterans Radio at 877-573-7825. We'd like to know if you have any war dog stories that you'd like to share, or maybe there's other operations like the Michigan War Dog Memorial going on around the country. When you mentioned that, I was wondering if there was a national war dog cemetery or not. Is there? Do you know of one?
No. There is not. There's none right now. There's going to be a national monument for war dogs that is going to take place at Lackland Air Force Base in October of this year.
Oh, okay. Lackland Air Force Base, that's where all of the dog handlers are trained now.
That's correct.
All branches of the service, correct?
That's correct.
Wow. I think this is a great story, and I'm anxious to find out more about Mina and some of the people that have got involved, and also some of the other stories that you may have about some of these other war dogs that you are familiar with. For our listeners out there, you are listening to Veterans Radio, and we're going to be switching off here. After our Medal of Honor, Bob's going to be in here for a second to talk with another guest that we have, just to keep you up to date with what's going on. But in the meantime, you're listening to Veterans Radio, and we'll be right back in just a minute talking about war dogs.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Technician 5th grade Lewis Hall ignored orders to withdraw from his position and continued firing a machine gun until he was killed. Details after this.
They came from every corner of the country, from small towns and big cities. But they all shared one thing in common. They belonged to a family called Marines. A tough and determined few, dedicated to protecting everything we hold sacred. And still, they come. Celebrate the history of those proud few who have earned the title Marine.
As leader of a machine gun squad charged with the protection of other battalion units, Hall's group was attacked by a superior number of Japanese. His gunner was killed, his assistant gunner was wounded, and an adjoining gun crew put out of action. Ordered to withdraw from his hazardous position, he refused to retire, but rushed forward to the idle gun. Another soldier joined him and held the machine gun up by the tripod to increase its field of action. Hall opened fire and inflicted heavy casualties upon the enemy. While so engaged, both soldiers were killed, but their sturdy defense was a decisive factor in the following success of the attacking battalion.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Well, we're back here on Veterans Radio with Bob Gould, and with me in the studio is going to be somebody who's sponsoring a little bit of Veterans Radio, and I'd like to welcome him, a Washtenaw County business person, a Washtenaw County resident. Isn't that right, Ron?
No, I live up in Livingston County.
Oh, well, we won't. Okay, yeah, scratch that last one, folks, and no emails from Livingston. It's a great spot, great spot, great spot. His name is Ron LaFleur. He's president of... And those of you that have been around, what would you say, southeastern Michigan? Mm-hmm. Well, yep. Remember his business, and he's still in business and will be in business, Naked Furniture. That's right, Naked Furniture Ann Arbor. That's the name of his company. And I'd like Veterans Radio to give a great, great welcome to Ron LaFleur. Ron, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thanks, Bob.
Yes, he's a goalie, folks, so they're very to the point. Absolutely. Naked Furniture on Washtenaw Avenue. How long have you been in that location, your present location?
Since 1999. We're moving just down the road a little bit closer to Arborland Mall on the same side of the street. And right now we're offering tremendous discounts on everything still in the showroom.
Well, okay. So you've been there since 1999, but You got a chance to go to another location. It's about a quarter of a mile down the road towards Ypsilanti East. Now, Naked Furniture is right now they're going to be reducing their inventory, so it's just not as much to move. Isn't that right, Ron?
Yep, that's right.
And you're going to a new location. What are your customers going to see when they go to the new location?
A brand new, bright, beautiful showroom with added attractions in furniture, with quarter sawn white oak being featured as our Amish event progresses into the spring.
Is that who makes the majority of your furniture, Amish folk?
It's becoming more and more.
What makes them so attractive?
Well, it's solid wood. It's beautifully finished. And right now we have a lot of it still available for sale in our old showroom.
I often wondered about the Amish. They don't have electricity, is that right? Or other little accoutrements? How do they make furniture?
Well, they're self-reliant. Everything in their communities comes from within.
And your customers benefit from that because they get the quality of the craftsmanship.
Yes, sir. Bob, they're solid wood furniture, all handmade and ready for delivery immediately.
And if it's not in your showroom, how do folks find out what is available?
Well, of course, we can order everything that's in the showroom in different woods and different colors, different stain and paint options. We have a full finishing shop that allows...
That's important.
Oh, yeah.
Very important. Did you hear that, folks? So you don't have to get your fingernails. I know whenever I did stain... You never got it out for 6 months, right? You know, people would look at your fingers and they got all that. So you don't have to do all that. Ron, your business has the finishing services.
We have the finishing services, yep.
Or you could do it yourself.
Yep, we do it at our shop in Heartland, and we service our customers in Ann Arbor and everywhere around Ann Arbor.
How far away from Ann Arbor can a customer expect to get service?
We've done deliveries,
have it shipped, et cetera.
Yeah, we've done deliveries as far as Traverse City and Grand Rapids.
This is all in Michigan, folks.
Yes,
but I'm sure you service Ohio and those areas. Okay, so it's going to be inventory reduction, and you're moving. So this is not. It's just inventory reduction. So you don't have as much stuff to move.
Right.
Right. And what else can your customers and our listeners expect?
They can expect to see beautifully finished, handcrafted furniture on sale now, most of the stuff that's in the showroom is at least 50% off.
50%? How do you make money on that? No, I know. You're clearing the wall so that you can make the move a lot easier. 50% on the mark price, right? That's great. That's fantastic. And now's the time. Springtime's coming up. Yes, it is. So now's the time to go out and to exchange a couple of pieces you might have at the house.
Yep, we have full service delivery with assembly at the house.
You actually have furniture as big as a dining room table or a big hutch?
Oh, yeah.
Beds?
We have every room in the house can be furnished at our store.
Do you furnish the mattresses, too?
Yep, we do. We sell
everything.
Yep.
You got everything. And are they going to have to make their way around workmen if they show up now in the next couple of weeks?
They might.
Okay. That adds to the ambiance.
Yeah. We've got the best quality and the best value in Ann Arbor right now.
Is there somewhere online that they can go, your customers, potential customers, our listeners, to where they can see examples of the furniture that you have?
NakedFurnitureAnnArbor.com.
It can't get any easier than that. NakedFurnitureAnnArbor.com. Well, Ron LaFleur, is there anything else that you'd like to add?
We're open 7 days a week.
Woo!
Monday through Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, noon to 6.
Good. And we're going to have you back on Veterans Radio live. By the way, folks, this is live. And we're going to have Ron back. He's going to be a sponsor with Veterans Radio. Support veterans. Veterans supporting veterans. Ron, thank you very much. Thank you for being on the program.
God bless America.
God bless America.
And we're back on Veterans Radio. We're a little switcheroo going on in here, and we'd like to welcome Naked Furniture. I'm thinking maybe some of the stations that we're on, we should probably call it Natural Furniture. I'm not sure that would be appropriate or not, not with all the logos and things that he's put money in there. But we want to welcome Naked Furniture to Veterans Radio as a sponsor. And, of course, if you'd like to help out Veterans Radio and become a sponsor here on this program, just contact Bob or myself at Bob or Dale at veteransradio.net, or go to our website, veteransradio.net, click on Contact Us, and we'll get back to you to see what we can work out together. We've been talking here on Veterans Radio today about a fascinating story about the War Dogs Memorial here in Michigan with Phil Whiteloff, L in there, project director. And in fact, we just got a call while we were in a break, letting us know that President Obama has signed into law in December of 2012 that war dogs are no longer equipment. They are considered personnel. And I think that that's a great addition to the military history, because maybe we can track down some more of these dogs. But if you're out there and you're a dog handler and you've got a story for us, give us a call here on Veterans Radio at 877-573-7825. Phil, we were just talking about Mina, and let me kind of remind our audience of the story. This is a war dog who had been deployed 9 times, came back home to the dog handler's mother's house. This gets a little complicated. And unfortunately passed away shortly thereafter, about a year after that. The woman tried to have the dog buried at a national cemetery here in Michigan for veterans, and then was told that you can't bury equipment in a national cemetery, otherwise we'd have to bury Jeeps and everything else, which wouldn't work out, but that wouldn't. So they found out about your organization, and you are going to have a ceremony for this dog in May when the handler comes home on leave, correct?
That's correct.
Well, I'm excited to hear about that whole story, but in addition to that, you said that some other people got involved when they heard the story.
Yes, the other people got involved with the Oakland County medical examiner who works for L. Brooks Patterson. So he had talked to his boss and said, I want to get involved in this. He said, "This is I'm a Vietnam veteran, and I know what these dogs did. I've seen them in action. So I want to help out." So he wasn't sure where to go, but my name had come up during the TV interview. And so he got a hold of me, and he says, is there anything I can do? And I said, I'm sure there is. He said, well, what I'd like to do is get a hold of the family, and I'd like to offer taking care of the cremation and taking care of the headstone for the dog.
Wow.
And so his name was Mike Zender. Mike Zender, and he's an Oakland County examiner. And I said, well, he said, where is the dog right now? And I said, to my knowledge, the dog is at the animal hospital in Owosso. And I said, matter of fact, it's been there for about 10 days waiting for the mother to make the decision what to do. And I said, they are only allowed to keep him for about 2 weeks. So I said, we need to make a move. We're going to do something. Mm-hmm. He said, let me take it from here. So what he did, he sent two uniformed officers from his office in their van and told those officers, you're going to Owosso to an animal hospital to pick up a war hero. And they took an American flag with him, and they went and picked up Mia, wrapped the dog in an American flag, and took him back to Pontiac. And then a day later, Mike was still with the dog, wrapped in the American flag, cremated the dog. Put him in a very nice little pine box, and had a kind of a miniature American flag laying over the top of it, and says, I'm going to be delivering this to the mother in about 2 days. Well, the mother called me and said, they called and says they're bringing Mia's ashes to me. I'm not sure I can handle this. Would you come over and be with me? And I said, ma'am, I'd love to. But I said, you first got to tell me where you live.
Right.
I've only been talking to her on the phone and involved. So when she told me where she lived, it was just a matter of 20 minutes from where I lived. So I went over there, and sure enough, Mike and an officer brought Mia's ashes in, and it was quite an emotional moment.
So where is Mina displayed right now?
Right now, she kind of set up her own little memorial in her house. And that's where he's displayed right now.
So this ceremony is going to take place at the Michigan War Dog Memorial Cemetery, hoping in May, correct?
Yes, we're hoping to do it in May. What we're waiting for right now is to find out when the Mia's handler, who's still deployed in Afghanistan, is coming home on leave. And when he's coming home on leave is when we're going to set up the burial ceremony.
I'm blown away by the reaction of the public here in Michigan, and probably it's the same all around the country, when they hear about these stories of war dogs being, left alone or not taken care of. Can you tell me a little bit about the program? We were talking the other day. You mentioned the program for adopting war dogs when they do return from service overseas.
Yes. Ever since 2000, in year 2000, whether you like Clinton or not, he did sign a bill, signed a law, that no longer the dogs will be euthanated. They will be open for adoption. The first person as priority would be the handler, but all the dogs now will be adopted out. And that's what happens today. I'd say majority of all the dogs, once they're done with their tour of duty, whether they're retired because of a medical reason or just because they're getting into a certain age, they can't do the job anymore, they're sent back to Lackland Air Force Base. Now, Lackland has a complete adoption program. Today, there's probably 400-plus people on the waiting list that want one of these, let me repeat this, well-trained canine.
Right. These are not necessarily attack dogs on their own.
No.
They are so controlled. Vance has told us so many stories about his dog in Vietnam that, it would cuddle up any time it wanted to. When you gave it the signal, it would do its job. But otherwise, they're just like your family dog.
That's correct. That's correct. I mean, they're extremely loyal. Most canines are loyal, but these dogs become extremely loyal because of what they've gone through. Once the dog handler and the dog bond, then they have to trust each other. Mm-hmm. Now, they are together 24/7 when they're on duty, when they're deployed. They're together all the time. And the dog ends up just absolutely bonded with it.
Okay. We got to take another break. We're going to come back, talk a little bit more about these dogs and how you can get out there and adopt one, or how you can support the Michigan War Dog Memorial. You're listening to Veterans Radio. We'll be right back.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill. The benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
And we're back on Veterans Radio, and we're talking about war dogs and the war dog memorial that's being built here in Michigan or being dedicated here in Michigan. And I was trying to think of bump music for today, and I couldn't find I couldn't find any dog music. I was thinking maybe I should get the theme to Rin Tin Tin or Lassie or something like that, but I didn't think it would be appropriate. There must be somebody out there who has written music for war dogs. We'll have to track that one down. We're talking with Phil Whiteloff here, who is the project director for the Michigan War Dog Memorial, and we were just talking briefly about the idea of adopting these dogs, because in talking with Vance and some of the other Vietnam dog handlers, unfortunately, when they left country, the dogs did not come home with them, and in fact, the dogs never came home. They were euthanized in Vietnam, which is really sad when you think about that, because of the relationship that these handlers have with their dogs. And, you know, we had talked earlier about, I wish this was television so that we could show some of the pictures of the dogs with their handlers and, you know, the GI sleeping in a bomb crater and a dog is sleeping on top of the bomb crater, still on watch. And protecting everybody that's involved. So if I wanted to adopt a dog, how would I go about doing this? I'd contact Lakeland?
Yeah. What you can do, I mean, if you just went Google war dog adoption, that'll take you to several sites which you can get into the Lackland area. Now, I've checked it out myself. There's probably 7 or 8 forms you have to fill out. So it's not like I want to adopt a dog, here it is. You've got to go through a screening process. They want to make sure you're capable of handling this dog. And then if you're qualified, and then you get on the waiting list. Now, it can take up to 4 to 6 months for that to happen. But once you adopt the dog, then it, you know, becomes your pet. And which is an interesting story, there was just recently, MWD Buddy. MWD Buddy was...
Working military dog.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
That's right.
Buddy was trained, you know, at Lackland Air Force Base, but then he was deployed to the TSA. So he went to Puerto Rico Airport, and he spent 8 years there mainly as a bomb-sniffing explosive dog. The lady that adopted him, who lives here in Michigan, said when she brought Buddy home, they walked into the garage, and he alerted. And he wouldn't move. And it was like, well, what's wrong with him? Well, they looked up on the shelf, and they had some ammunition up there. The dog could sniff the explosives from the ammunition. So he was still on duty, even though he was retired.
That's true. You wouldn't want to take him to Walmart or something like that.
Walk
through the guns collection back there. The dog would be going crazy.
She said it took about 3 months for him to become a dog.
To relax.
And once he became a dog, and their other dog they had at home, they had a great time. They played and had a great time.
Well, I guess, now how many of these dogs do you think have been adopted? I mean, is there a guesstimate, or are they ever not adopted?
No, they will eventually be adopted one way or another. I mean, you, first thing you have to look at, the military dog is going to be on duty normally to the age of 8, 9, 10. About okay. 10 years old is when they start retiring them. Then it may take 6 months to get the adoption program going. Most of these are bigger dogs, you know, the German Shepherd, the Belgian Malinois, the Retrievers. Their life expectancy is, what, 14, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
So they only have about four years that that they live after they're adopted. So right now, I'd say 100% are eventually adopted out.
Mm-hmm. We've got about 5 minutes to go, Phil, and I was wondering if you knew of any other, can think of any other stories of some of the dogs that you've run across in your work with this project.
Well, I tell you what I'd like to do, if you don't mind. I'd like to just give you just a little quick history fact on military dogs.
Okay.
I'm going to take you back to World War One. In World War One, they referred to as ambulance dogs. These dogs were trained to go out in no man's land in between the trenches after a frontal attack to find a wounded soldier. And when they would find a wounded soldier, they would take a piece of his clothing, any article they could, take him back to the stretcher bearers, and then lead the stretcher bearers back to that wounded soldier.
Wow.
Now, they were referred to back then as ambulance dogs. In World War II, now their name changed to war dogs. And it was in March 13th, 1942, when the quartermaster in the Army was given the direction to secure dogs for defense. And that's when the program started for the United States.
Okay.
And in 1943, when our first deployment came, was in Guam, in which they proved themselves immediately. In Korea, there was only one dog platoon that was deployed there. But they've estimated that dog platoon had saved somewhere in the area of 4,000 lives. In Vietnam, they were still called war dogs. It's estimated that they have saved 10,000 lives. They served in Bosnia. They were still considered war dogs. Then their name changed. Their name changed to MWDs, military working dogs. So then they went into Iraq. There were several deployed to Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And today there's roughly 600 teams in Afghanistan. And their main function right now is finding the IEDs. So they're doing a great job at that.
I'm amazed at what they've been able to use these dogs for. And I guess dogs in general, we've done a couple of stories here on Veterans Radio. In fact, the latest one was called Until Tuesday, and it was a story of an Iraq veteran who has a service dog named Tuesday, who helps him not only physically get around, opens doors, turns on lights, all types of things, but also helps him with his PTSD symptoms as this calming agent. And he said that the dog knows when I'm getting upset. It will snuggle up to me when he thinks I'm getting concerned about things that I don't need to worry about, but I am. And the dog, he said, kind of wrapped himself around me and just lay there and just until I calmed down. And I think it's amazing that we've been able to find all these different uses for dogs, and that it's and in Michigan, especially, we do have the leadership for the blind dogs up in Rochester,
right?
And you've got this memorial going. I congratulate you on what you're doing. What can our audience do to help out? What if you needed anything right now and you could get it? What would you like our audience to do?
Well, firstly, the Michigan War Dog Memorial is actually run and operated by a band of military veterans. And the biggest thing that we need right now is funding. The only thing that will mm-hmm. stop us in our mission is the fact of a lack of funding.
Okay, and let's remind them how they can donate money right now to the Michigan War Dog Memorial. They can go to their website, which is Michigan War Dog Memorial, MWDM.org, and click on Donate Now. And I've got a caller on the line who wants to make a comment here. Oh, I got somebody on the line. Which one? Line one? Hold on. Hi, I got Bob Mays on the line. What's up?
Yeah, I just want to thank your show for presenting the War Dog Show that you're doing presently now, and also for what they're doing in Michigan. And, of course, we have a lot of thanks for the passing of the bill in December for recognizing them as a military soldiers versus McCain's theory of them being a Jeep. And we would like to have everyone more involved. I was a dog handler myself in Vietnam in 68 and 69.
Well, thank you, Ron.
And it's a great thing that y'all are doing, and I wish more states and others would get involved in the program.
Thank you very much, Rob. I greatly appreciate that, and thank you for your service. What was your dog's name?
His name was Atlas, a great big shepherd.
Thank you very
and
much.
Me.
Thanks.
All right.
Thanks for your call.
Okay.
Well, you know, you can see the attachment that these men have with these animals. You know, that's 45 years ago, and I'll bet you he can describe that dog down to the last hair on its head. And I just think that that's great. So we want to send money. We wanted to support this group. You've got an event coming up next Saturday, March 9th.
Yes, we're having our second annual Canine Veteran Day ceremony at the site. It starts at 11 o'clock in the morning. We'll be talking about military working dogs. I have the Michigan State Canine Unit coming. We have the Oakland County Canine Unit coming. We got the Michigan Search and Rescue dog.
Got a lot of dogs there.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of dogs and be a lot of little talks about their training and some of the things that happen to them while they're on duty. So we're looking for a great program next Saturday.
Okay, again, for those of you out there that want to go to that, that is next Saturday, March 9th at 11 a.m.
Correct.
At the intersection of 11 Mile and Milford Road, just east of South Lyon, south of Milford, west of Detroit, north of Plymouth. Probably you need to Google it. Phil, I want to thank you so very much for being on Veterans Radio, and
You're welcome.
Forward to finding out more about this. And we'll be in touch when Mina's owner comes or handler comes home, and maybe we can do something with that. So thank you very much.
Great. Thank you very much.
Okay. I got Bob on the line. He's got something he wanted me to tell, so I'm going to put him back on. Bob Gould.
No, I was.
Welcome to Veterans Radio.
Well, thank you. I know I'm traveling right now, and in fact, I have Ron in front of me, but I forgot to mention, where do you go for Naked Furniture in Ann Arbor? Well, besides their webpage, which is nakedfurnitureannarbor.com, you want to go to 3402 Washtenaw Avenue. That's in the great city of Ann Arbor, 3402 Washtenaw Avenue, or area code 734-975-9080. Once more, 734-975-9080. And that's at 3402 Washtenaw Avenue, right there in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Thanks again, Dale.
Okay, Bob, thank you. That address is across from the Arborland Mall, for those of you that are familiar with our area here, right off of U.S. 23. See, if you advertise with Veterans Radio, you definitely will get your name and number and everything out there, and we'll help you as much as that you can help us. We're going to be back next week with a new program called Sound Off. We want to know what you think about what's going on in the world today as far as the military is concerned. We can talk about the new medals for the drone pilots. We can talk about VA benefits. If you're having a backup, problems with your getting your claim filed and getting taken care of, we're going to have all kinds of people on the phone with us, and we're going to be doing that for you. So for all you veterans out there, tune in next week. Give us your opinion. We value your opinion, and nobody will be excluded. Of course, we've got to keep it clean, but other than that, we're okay. So until next week, this is Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry, and you are dismissed.
All views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily of Veterans Radio or this station. Veterans Radio is a production of Veterans Radio, LLC.